Welcome to Horse Happenings with myself, Lindsay Partridge. To cookie or not to cookie? That is the question. And for some of you, when I say cookies, you think, yeah, that's great. Speed's training works really well. Love giving my horse cookies. And then for other people, it's a big taboo subject. It's like, no, why would you do that? Why would you even think about giving a horse a cookie? You're going to turn them into a cookie monster, and it's a really bad thing to do. And an interesting thing happened just the other day where a student of mine went to an obstacle schooling practice, and we're getting some pointers on how to do the obstacle course better. And for whatever reason, the person that was helping was very against using cookies. It was like, put those away. And the interesting thing is that they really liked the horse. They really liked their expression, how willing they were, that they were trying the different obstacles and doing such a good job their first time through the obstacles. But they were not a fan of how the horse was trained. So it's kind of funny, because to me, that's kind of funny, because it's like, okay, you like the end result of how the horse is behaving and interacting with their handler, but you're not liking the process of how they got there. And so I want to talk about this for a little bit, because it's this interesting phenomena where the equestrian community seems to be very divided into two groups, where there's a group of people that don't believe in using horse food to train. And then there's the group of people that are kind of the new agers who are using positive reinforcement and have their cookie pouches and are very for positive reinforcement. And it's almost like people think you have to belong in the one or the other group. I'm not sure if people think that if you're not using positive reinforcement, then you're mean to horses, or if you are using positive reinforcement, then you're not really a horse trainer, you're not somehow not as good or something like that. I don't really know what's going on there, but I want to break down some of the key highlights here with using food. So first off, we know that in virtually every other form of animal training, whether it be dogs, dolphins, whales, cats, whatever animal it is that's being trained for movies or TV or for competition, food is used, because food is effective, it's friendly, and it's very fast. There's been a number of studies that have been done on different types of animals, including horses, and have found that if you use positive reinforcement, if you use food specifically, that you can train a skill on average 4 times as fast than the control group using just, for example, pressure and release or something like that. And in zoos, they will use positive reinforcement and food to train animals. I remember hearing about this story of they needed to move the giraffes from one pen to the other while they were cleaning. And they found that if they put peanut butter on the walls of the pen that they needed them to move into, the giraffes would actually start running into the pen and were very quick and easy to move. So they went from being very slow and gingerly walking, and it would take forever to clean the pens because it took forever to get the giraffes to move, to the giraffes actually running to the next pen to get the peanut butter off the walls using the positive. So that's an example of positive reinforcement and making life a lot easier. And so to me, it's a no-brainer. If it's friendly, if it makes it faster, if it helps the horse learn quicker, then I'm all about saving time and also being friendly to my horses. I don't like getting to a place of pressure and release to the point that a horse is going to react in a negative way and kind of fight back or something that's going to make it unsafe. I like to keep things very safe, very happy, having a good time with my horse. Now, one of the things that people always talk about is that the horse will become a cookie monster, and they start to get nippy and grabby, and those things can definitely happen. But I always like to say back to people, well, you taught your horse to canter under saddle. Do you not worry about your horse just taking off and going cantering whenever they feel like it? And the answer is, well, no, because you're going to have some boundaries around that. You're going to have some rules and expectations, and you're going to have some limits, those boundaries of when the horse is allowed to canter and how that's going to happen. And if the horse goes too fast or they decide to just canter randomly, you're going to correct that. Now, with giving horses treats and giving horses cookies or food, sometimes what I see is people are actually getting out of the horse's space a little bit. The horse is actually coming into their pocket or sniffing their pockets for cookies and things like that. And people aren't setting the boundaries and aren't blocking that nosiness, or even they might even be stepping out of the horse's way. So that way they are kind of trying to avoid that conversation with the horse to say, hey, that's not appropriate. You can't do that. For me, the onus is really on the human to teach those boundaries. And I like to always kind of relate it to children a little bit, because some kids are going to be better at walking down the candy aisle than others. Some kids are going to be easier to teach manners, saying please and thank you and being polite as they walk down the aisle and not throwing a tantrum if they don't get to have the goodies that they want to have. And the same thing is true with horses. Some horses are going to be more grabby, more persistent. They're going to take more patience and consistency to get them to be polite about how they take a cookie and not going into your pockets and things like that and expecting that they're going to get that food and get that cookie. The same thing is true. Children, horses, they're very, very similar in a lot of respects. And with food is just one of them. And it's going to be the human that's got to be consistent. We have to do that for our horses. And I think it's an important skill to be able to take food by hand. You never know when you might need to give your horse something by hand. Maybe it's a pill or a medication that you're hiding inside something and you want to do it by hand to make sure they get it rather than in a bucket. You just don't know what the situation's going to be. And having a horse that's polite and able to take food by hand or have a bucket of food held for them, any of those things, and be safe is going to be a better horse to be around than a horse that's very possessive over food or very demanding over food. That can sometimes lead to safety issues. With horses, we know that most of the time they're going to use passive leadership to establish dominance and a leader in the herd. But when they are protecting a friend or they are around food, that's when we see assertive leadership. That's when we can see the kicking, the biting, the chasing, those types of behaviors. And I would like to avoid those behaviors. So teaching the manners right off the bat with the cookies for a positive reinforcement is a great way to help make sure that my horse is going to be more safe and not think about going to assertive leadership. Passive leadership is so key with horses, and that really involves standing your ground and making sure that you're not going to move out of your horse's way for things like giving treats. So if you are going to give a cookie, I want to be really careful that if your horse is coming into your pockets or expecting that, that you kind of shake your hands and shake them off and make sure that you're not stepping backwards and away from your horse in that process. I always tell people you want to think like you are a tree and you are growing roots. So when you stop and you stand, think, plant your roots, grow like a tree and stand there. And then that way, if the horse is trying to come into your space for those treats, you're standing still and expecting them to leave your personal space alone rather than you getting away from them trying to mug you and be all over you like a cookie monster. Whenever I have a horse that is super cookie motivated and they are a bit of a cookie monster, I know that can be frustrating, but it also comes with the flip side of the horse is often easier to teach a lot of different behaviors to. In dogs, the police officers actually won't take a dog for training unless they are super food motivated or super play motivated. Because if you don't have a way to motivate the dog to learn how to be a police dog, either by food or by play, then they're extremely difficult to train because it's not easy to motivate them. The same is true for horses. If your horse isn't food motivated or doesn't have something that they really, really enjoy that you can give them as positive reinforcement, they become much more difficult to train and convince. And that's when people usually resort to crops in more forceful ways of riding or working with them, because the horse doesn't have a strong motivation. But food can be a great motivator and can help speed that learning and encourage that horse to want to try more. And even though a horse might be a bit more on the muggy side, if I can be consistent with expecting good manners, I'm going to be able to curb that mugging behavior. But I'm also going to have a horse that's saying, what would you like me to do now? And they can start to offer different behaviors and different things. The horses that aren't food motivated are a lot harder to get that level of play. You have to be more creative about getting them motivated and interested and wanting to work with you. So at the end of the day, as somebody who started horses without any food reinforcement, and the relationships that I didn't really have with my horses back then, I struggled with certain things, and certain tasks would take a long time to teach. Now that I use food as a motivator and food as a positive reinforcement tool, I am able to train horses significantly faster, and it's a lot more fun. It feels like the horse is really wanting to try and learn and figure things out, figure out how to earn the cookie. It also comes in handy in terms of if a horse is kind of more tense or a little bit stuck in their head, if you give them a piece of food, a little treat, it gets them to start licking and chewing, which is helpful in just getting their horse's mind to relax and connect a little bit more as well. So there's lots of little perks for why positive reinforcement and using food specifically are good to use. Even in that, let's say you're riding your horse, or even if you're on the ground, you can give the cookie in different positions, for example, the right side or the left side, to start getting your horse to bend a little bit more. So if your horse is more stiff on the right side, you can use the cookie on the right side of the horse to help get the horse bending more to the right side and start to soften on that side as well. So it's like getting a little extra piece of training and stretching in for your horse by where you can give that cookie. No matter how you choose to use your horse or train your horse, with food or without food, we want to be respectful of each other's opinions, and it's important to ask the questions why and think about understanding where somebody's coming from. So if you are somebody that's on the side of the fence of not liking cookies and thinking that it's not how horse training is or anything like that, hopefully you've gained some insight into some reasons why positive reinforcement and using food specifically are a good idea. And if you are on the side of the fence that already does use food rewards, hopefully this has given you some examples that you can tell people. If they're not understanding why you're using food as positive reinforcement, you can tell them some of the tips that we've gone over today in this episode, or you can share with us in social media. You can comment and let us know what are some other ideas of why you use positive reinforcement, or what do you tell people if they're really against you using food? How do you kind of stick up for that choice that you've made to use food with your horses? So until next time, bye for now. Thanks for listening to Horse Happenings with myself, Lindsay Partridge. Remember, you can always check out more great free resources and other information at harmonyhorsemanship.com, or check me out on my personal website, lindsaypartridge.com. That's Lindsay with an E, partridge.com, or harmonyhorsemanship.com. Thanks so much for listening, and bye for now.